Nope, now it's on. Okay, so yeah, kind of nervous. Usually when I talk to people, it's a bunch of kids, and you guys aren't really kids, so we'll see how this goes. Like Pastor Mike said, my name's Liz, Elizabeth Dahl, but yeah, everybody calls me Liz. And I am from a tiny little town in southeast Nebraska, really far south, a little bit east. There's like 200 people there on a good day. I'm the oldest of seven children. I have five younger brothers and one younger sister. Grew up on a farm, really strong Christian household. My dad has a really awesome faith. My mom does as well. Some of my best memories, or earliest memories, I guess, from my childhood were sitting under a tree with my dad, and he would sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and then he'd tell me about how much Christ loved me. And so I grew up in that kind of a household, and I thought for the longest time, well, not the longest time, but for the majority of my younger childhood that I was saved. And then I turned 11, and I don't know what changed when I turned 11, but I just realized that one day I am going to stand before God, and without him, I had nothing. Like, Jesus wouldn't look at me and say, that one's mine. And so I really just had this burden upon me for a while. I just knew that something was missing and I needed something more. So I started pummeling my dad with questions, just question after question of everything from why are zebras, like why do they look like they do? I mean, anything and everything I could think of, I asked my dad and he would answer me the best that I could. And then he pulled me aside one Wednesday evening and said, you know, Elizabeth, would you like to ask Jesus into your heart? And I didn't even hesitate. I was like, yes, that's what I want. And so I asked Jesus into my heart. When I was 11, he became my savior, which was awesome. But I didn't really do anything with that newfound salvation. It wasn't until probably my junior year of high school, best as I can estimate, we changed churches at this time, and we moved into a church that was really passionate and on fire for Christ. And that really, like, stirred me up. I was convicted on a lot of things, and I really started to pursue Christ more. I really started to build up a relationship with him, so it was really awesome to see. And so I started to pour myself into the church, and I started to serve in any way that I could. It kind of got to the point where it was like, oh, we need something done, go ask Liz. And I wouldn't say no. I was like, yeah, sure, I can do that. And I mean, I still do that sometimes. But God really convicted me on why I was serving. I was serving because I thought that works would somehow get me closer to God. It would somehow build up my standing with him. And so he convicted me. And Ephesians 2:8-9, like that was one of the verses. By grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so I started to really see God's gift for what it is. It's exactly that. It's a gift. He gives it to us freely. And so that really, from that point on, it really started to change my life as to why I served and who I was serving. And then I moved on to senior year of high school. And if anybody's a senior in high school, you know, or has been a senior in high school, you know what it's like. You're just trying to figure out what's next in life and you're not really sure. But I knew what I wanted. I was going to go to college down in Peru State because it was only like 3 hours from home. And I was going to get a teaching degree. And then when I was done with that, I was going to move to Montana. I don't know why Montana. I was just going to move there. And so it was all cool. Everything was good. I had my plans until a missionary couple came to church. And they started talking about their missions and how God had used them and all the things that he was doing in their lives and in the lives of the people they were touching. And I just had this, I had no interest in missions at all. I never, ever wanted to leave anywhere. And so, I don't know, it was just like the Holy Spirit. He just started to nudge me and say, you're going to go. And I was like, no, I'm not. No, you're going to go. I'm not going anywhere. And he just kept like pushing me, you're going to go, you're going to go. And so, I fought that for a long time. And then 2 weeks before college was supposed to start, I went to visit the college. And I was just, as soon as I walked on the campus, I was like, no, this is not where God wants me. So we ended up looking at a couple other colleges, and we pulled up the CSC webpage, and I was like, yep, that's where I'm supposed to go. I don't know why, but I'm supposed to go there. And so I signed up for classes, and I saw that they had some campus missions like Revive and Chi Alpha, and so I really wanted something like that, something that I could really get involved in and maybe eventually do mission trips through. And so that was really exciting. Like, I felt like, okay, got a plan for my life now. Like, God, all right, let's do this. So I came out to CSC in 2013. I was a sophomore at that time. I did my first year and a half at home online. And I came out here, and in January of 2013, and a lot of stuff happened when I moved out here, and it was just a really rough first few weeks of college, and that just kind of, I don't know, during that time, I really had to learn to trust in God and to just really rely on Him. And He showed me in so many ways during that time that this is where I was supposed to be. He used this church in a huge way, and the people in this church and my roommate and even people on campus, like, He just used people to show me that this was where He wanted me. And so during my college years, after my first few weeks, you know, my faith really grew. I developed a stronger relationship with Christ. I became more open and more real. That's one of the things that I really struggle with, is being real with people and being open. And so He really changed me during that time. So sometimes I'm still closed off, but God really, like, has changed me in that way. I focus more on God, and He really just put this desire in my heart to know Him more. I just needed more of Him as, like, the longer I went. And so that was awesome. Like, you know, junior year was great. First part of senior year was great. Like, I had an awesome relationship with Christ. I had, you know, awesome Christian friends. I had a plan. My plan was great. And so, yeah, senior year, like, that second semester hit, and it was really, really rough. I had a lot of personal things happen, and it was just really hard. Like, a lot of stuff happened with my family. And then I had an opportunity to go to Africa, and I started raising money. And I was like, okay, this is awesome. Like, God is finally showing me what He wants me to do. He's finally opened that door. So I started raising money for Africa, and then that door just, like, totally shut. I was like, okay, well, not that door. So I found another mission trip to Africa, and that one fell through. And I was, at this point, I was like, okay, not sure, maybe not Africa. Okay. So then I found a mission trip going to Peru, and I didn't want to go to South America at all. But the more that I, like, thought about it, and I prayed about it, but my problem was, I was praying, Lord, if You want me to go there, then help me to, like, you know, raise money and all this stuff. But as I prayed, if You want me to go there, it was more of, I've already made up my mind, I'm going to go there, so just open the doors for me to go. And so that was really something that, yeah, I think all this happened for God to show me, like, no. Yeah, not your plans. So Peru fell through. And I was like, you know, at this point I was really frustrated, and I was just not sure what was happening. Had I missed God's calling in my life? Had I just totally messed it up? I was really just frustrated. And because, yeah, I thought I was supposed to go into missions, and that was really hard for me to accept, that He wasn't opening those doors and then He was keeping me here. But at least in my mind, I was like, okay, I'm getting my teaching degree. I'll go teach. I'm not teaching anymore. Now, yeah, if any of you know me, I don't teach. I work at the library. So that didn't work through. And then I was going to move to Montana, and then that didn't work out. And I was just really, really frustrated with God. And I was just kind of not mad, but upset, because I thought that He had shown me this plan, and I was frustrated with myself, thinking, did I miss this? Like, did I miss His plan? Did I misunderstand it this bad? And so I started to get really desperate and looking for jobs anywhere and everywhere just to get out of Chadron, because I was just, at that point, I was done with this place. So I looked for jobs in still Montana. I kept trying to push on a closed door. Montana and Wyoming and here in Nebraska and South Dakota. I even looked in Kansas. I mean, so it was, you know, pretty desperate. But yeah, all of my plans just came crashing down around me. And one of the verses that I stumbled upon was Proverbs 19:21, and it says, many are the plans in the heart of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And that really just, like, just stopped me. It was like, okay, I've had a lot of plans, but it is God's will that will stand. And so He's kept me here for about a year and a half now. And since then, yeah, that desire to know Christ has just continued to build. And what the one thing I found is that all I know and all I want is Jesus. Like, during that time of uncertainty and when everything was just, like, so up in the air, the one thing that I could rest upon was Jesus and His love and the grace that He has shown me. And it was really hard to accept. Like, that was a really hard thing that he taught me. But he's shown me in, like, small little ways that he wants me here. I still don't know exactly why he wants me here, but he's shown me that he wants me here. And his plan is perfect. And then one of the verses that is just, like, has been my go-to for the past couple years now is Psalm 46:10, and it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And so he's taught me and is continuing to teach me to just be still and to trust and obey his perfect plan, because ultimately that is all that matters. So that's my story. Hopefully it was within the time limit. I don't know. So if you guys have any questions or anything, feel free to talk to me after church. So thank you, Pastor Mike.
Thanks, Liz. That was great. And behind all of that was Christ. I mean, she made that really clear. And Christ is behind every bit of our life that matters. Where would we be without Jesus? And the night before he laid down his life for us on the cross, he gave us something to help us remember, and that's the Lord's Supper. He was having a meal with his disciples, and he pulled out some bread, and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he poured the wine, and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. This is my blood that I'm pouring out for the new covenant." We have this new relationship with God because he gave his life. His body was broken, and his blood was shed. And what we do now is simply to stir our memory for worship. This doesn't make us right with God. It's not mystical. This is simply it's a symbolic thing that we do that is special in the sense that it helps us remember that Jesus Christ gave his life for us so that we could have life. The ultimate show of mercy in the universe was Christ. So, you don't have to be a member. You just can come. We want you to be a believer who knows Christ. You can freely come. If you don't want to come, that's okay too. We have elements in the front and the back. If you don't feel comfortable, just stay in your seat. No one will really notice. So let's now, we'll give thanks and then come. Father, we are so grateful for the life that we have because of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have and the new standing with you that we have because of Jesus. And we know that while that is absolutely free to us, it was not free to Christ. He paid the highest price ever. His body was broken. His blood was shed. He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. So Lord, we take this bread and this juice and we remember you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.